Get them while they're toxic.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Bob Moon in for Steve Chiotakis. Have I got a deal for you? Dirt cheap loans. The government hopes will encourage big investors to start buying up all those toxic assets, the ones banks haven't been able to unload for months and months now. And yes, the government will also be laying more of its own money on the line. The Obama administration is spelling out the plan today, and as Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson reports, the question now is, will investors feel it's safe enough to get back in the game?
With the government assuming so much of the risk, more than 90% in some cases, you might wonder, why bother having private investors involved at all? The reason is that the White House feels it'll be easier to create a market for these toxic assets if they're priced by the private sector. That'll happen at auctions run by the FDIC. Mark Zandi, chief economist at MoodysEconomy.com, says this plan could finally get these assets away from the banks.
Now, $1 trillion won't get the job completely done. There's probably twice as many bad assets on banks' balance sheets. But if this first $1 trillion works reasonably well, I think they'll probably go back to Congress, get more money, and try to get the other $1 trillion off bank balance sheets.
Investors who want to buy toxic assets will be leveraged 6-to-1 at best and 1-to-1 at worst. The White House is also trying to assure investors they won't be subject to AIG-style retroactive regulation from Congress. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
Wall Street's watching with high hopes. And it seems Secretary Geithner is making a decent impression today. The Dow's up 177 points, almost 2.5%. The Nasdaq's ahead by 2%. The S&P 500 has gained 2.75%. These hard times might call for tightening your belt, especially if it's a seat belt. After some setbacks, India's biggest carmaker Tata Motors is launching the world's cheapest car today. If nothing else, the arrival of the stripped-down Nano is well-timed. Raymond Thibodeau has more from Mumbai.
The congested streets of Mumbai, like most of India's big cities, are likely to get even busier after the launch of the Tata Nano. Known here as the people's car, it costs about $2,000. And that puts the dream of car ownership within the reach of millions of India's poor.
The one sure-shot thing which they want to show to everyone that they have made it big in life is to go and own a car.
Adil Dharan Kalawala is one of India's auto industry analysts.
For India, the market is here, and that's the reason why you suddenly have a car for motorcycle money and millions want to have that.
It was conceived 6 years ago when India's economy was blazing along at growth rates of 8 and 9%. But the Nano's rollout comes as India's economy is slowing down, and the global credit crunch has hit the auto industry particularly hard. At a launch today here in Mumbai, Tata Motors chief Ratan Tata sounded optimistic. He says the economic downturn only makes the Nano more relevant, not only in India, but also in other developing nations in Asia and Africa. For now, Tata's biggest problem is keeping up with demand, expected to be at least 1 million cars a year. Only about 1,500 Nanos are currently available. The wait time for one? About a year. In Mumbai, I'm Raymond Thibodeau for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thriven Financial for Lutherans, a not-for-profit financial service provider helping its members navigate troubled economic times. Thriven.com/new offers. And by CSX, whose trains move a ton of freight 423 miles on 1 gallon of fuel to help reduce emissions. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
The National Gardening Association estimates 7 million American households will start their own vegetable gardens this year. That's up 19% from last year, and not surprisingly, more than half say they're doing it to save money. And some companies are seeing green. Here's Andrew Stelzer in San Francisco.
In the backyard of an old Victorian house, Sarah Wyman empties a bag of soil and pours it onto a clearing of dirt. She picks up a shovel and demonstrates something called double digging.
This is just to make sure that the roots are encouraged to grow straight down instead of compete horizontally so that you can grow things a lot closer together.
It's part of a day-long organic gardening crash course by Wyman's company, All Edibles. They design and build your garden and teach you how to take care of it. First-time gardeners Paul Silverman and Laura Shapiro are doing a new low-budget package developed by All Edibles. The entire garden gets built in one day, and the clients have to help do the work.
But we wanted to do that anyway. We wanted to be a part of the entire process.
And even though that sweat equity helps save money, They're still planting the garden in phases.
This is the first third of the yard, and then somewhat later, then we can do an installment with another portion, and that'll help keep it manageable on a cash flow basis.
This one-day build costs $1,400. Not cheap, but the garden planted today should produce enough vegetables and herbs to feed a small family for the entire year. Even with the poor economy, All Edibles co-founder Kirk Saunders says business for his four-year-old company is good.
You know, gas prices go up, food transportation costs go up. If you're growing it yourself, you don't really have that problem.
By 3 o'clock, the backyard has 15 different crops planted, ranging from blueberries to broccoli. There's a drip irrigation system so that Shapiro and Silverman won't have to water the 150-square-foot garden by hand.
But look, we can harvest our dinner. And not just salad.
We can harvest 4 people's dinners, I think.
I hope so. I hope we have that kind of productivity out here.
A few other edible landscaping companies have recently sprung up around the country. The National Gardening Association says during the 1970s oil crisis, vegetable gardens were more common than at any time since. Those tough but fertile economic times may be upon us again. In San Francisco, I'm Andrew Stelzer for Marketplace.
Here's a sign of the times that turns out to be no sign at all. Workers have taken down a prominent emblem outside an office building in downtown Manhattan. The just-removed letters AIG will eventually be replaced with a new sign that reads AIU Holdings. Now, just to be clear, that's not IOU Holdings. It'll be AIU. Last week, AIG's chief said the company needs to go through a rebranding process to dump a name that he lamented has been thoroughly wounded and disgraced. Thus the missing corporate shingle. You know, maybe they could just put up one of those signs that says, "Your tax dollars at work." I'm Bob Moon in Los Angeles. Scott Jagow is keeping you up to date on the unfolding financial mess with his blog, The Scratch Pad. You'll find it over at marketplace.org. And thanks very much for listening.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.